J.D. Bunkus, Blake Murphy, Justin Cuthbert. It's Thursday. This week feels like it's going by fast. You guys getting fast week vibes right now? It's always weird to ask that on a... No, Blake. Blake, slow week for Blake.
Well, I thought yesterday was Thursday. So now this feels like a second Thursday.
Yeah, that's always tough. Hey, you know what, though? Thursdays is always a good day. So having two Thursdays isn't the worst, right?
Like, certainly better than having two Tuesdays.
Yeah. Oh, you better believe it, especially now that Ailish isn't here and I have to read the texts. You know, that's not great. Ailish, please come back and read the text so I don't ever have to do this again. My God. You know what? I'll never criticize you again for losing the text that you had your eye on. I promise. I vow that I will never, ever criticize that again. We're waiting on our buddy Colby Armstrong. That's his music. That's the sign that he is coming on. But, yeah, I think this week has cruised by because we've had so many sports and we've had so many things to talk about. Like... And primarily,
thank you to the Raptors and Leafs for finally getting a week where only one team plays, but someone is playing every night.
Yeah,
the perfect schedule week.
That helps the week go.
This is the template. Okay, this is the template. All we need now is a major golf tournament on the weekend. You know, and guess what we get though? We don't get that. We get the F1 series this weekend. We're gonna roll from two Leaf games back to back, Raptors game breakup, Leafs game tonight. And then boom, F1 Drive to Survive series. Going to destroy my entire weekend. That's all I'm going to do. I'm going to watch that show. I can't wait to do recaps with you guys. I don't think Colby's into it. I know he's Mr. Fun Guy. And you know what's going to piss me off, actually, is Colby's got this new corner that everybody wishes they could have at Sportsnet, which is, hey, call the fun guy to go do the fun things. Haha, buddy. You know, like, hey, call him. Take him to Vegas, buddy. Give him a free trip. Oh, that's cool. This guy's rich already. Take him to Vegas for free. My dream. He's living my dreams. But the next trip they're going to take him on is he's going to go to F1 in Montreal. And then he's going to go, I don't know what's going on. Do you know what's going on with F1?
No. I have no clue. Yeah. That's what makes it better, though. You don't get it. You're like, I need to know, I need to know, I need to know. And they're like, God, this guy tries real hard. And then I show up, and I'm like, what's up, guys? You know, what are we doing?
Yeah, hey, you know what? Actually, okay, that's a hilarious way to tell your story. It's like, so
do they do the hockey, too?
No, yeah. Hey, you know what my try-hard moment like that, realizing that, was when I was in second-year university, for athletes especially, this is why I work with you. So I'm working as a mover. Shout out AMJ Campbell. I was a blue shirt, you know? And I get offered to do Phil Kessel's move to Toronto. The Leafs trade for Phil Kessel, and I'm going to move him to his apartment, his condo down here in Toronto. We meet Phil.
No way.
Yeah. I moved him into his condo. So we meet Phil. He had nothing, by the way. He's like, I have golf clubs and like a lot of golf stuff. And then there's pictures of me with like Cam Neely is what he had. Like he had nothing. His condo was amazing. Obviously, we're moving him in. And old nerd JD, who loves the Leafs in second year university, is like, hey, man, who you think you're going to play with? And he's just like, ugh. You know, he wants nothing to do with my conversation. My buddy Joe, who's with us, doesn't give a crap about hockey the entire time. And he starts just talking about other things. And him and Phil are basically best friends. You know, they're just shooting they're shooting the breeze, having a good time, talking about UFC. And then I'm on the outside. I'm like, yes, but also, don't you feel as though Tyler Bozak, like, you know, just embarrassing. And I got in the truck that day and I realized, you know what? I'll never do that again. I will never, ever. I'll be like Joe. I'm never going to talk to a professional athlete ever about what they do for a living. I'm only going to talk to you about things that are outside of it. Like, never, ever, ever try. Don't try. Don't tell people that you like stuff. That's the way to be cool, is to talk about things that don't matter.
Like,
Yeah.
Oh, this couch is heavy.
He did have a nice couch.
Yeah, you set it down in the living room, and then you're like, So what kind of flex do you use?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man, I wish that wasn't true, but it is. It is true, and it hurts.
So funny.
I wish I could have a Men in Black stick where I just erase that from my memory, you know, where I just go like,
I love you for that.
It's gone.
I love you for it. Yeah. Oh, there it was.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah, I needed it. No, you're right. So, yeah, you're on the corner. You're on the good corner of, hey, I go do things. Do you know what's next or what?
I don't know.
You're like, oh, all-star
games. I don't know.
Vegas,
oh, yesterday I just did a cool thing, and I don't know if – I think I'm allowed – it's a Tim Hortons little thing with my kids. It's a commercial type of deal with my kids for the outdoor game this weekend.
Oh, that's all right. Hey,
yeah,
we were talking about you.
Yeah, I got all my kids in there, like, hey, kids, what's up, kids? Like, you know,
hey, kids,
doing
what's
some
up?
Goofy
wow.
stuff.
That's how you book these gigs, eh? It's just like you when you say you don't try hard, you really mean it. Hey, Colby, we got this commercial with kids. What do you think? I could go something like, hey, kids, what's up, kids? He nailed it, everybody. Look at this guy, actor of a generation. He's pulling it off. I need to know that next time that Sportsnet comes to you with one of these things, though, where you get to go have a good time, that you at least throw my name in the mix. You know, just throw it out there,
buddy.
Throw me a bone.
I got a thing tossed at me yesterday. I don't know if I can. The thing about what I do now, it's very top secret, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, you're going to send this guy out to somewhere to drink and
make
eat food. Yeah, boy. He's going to stay in a nice hotel.
I'm
going to
make
crazy.
A TikTok video.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, I love, too, them sending you to make the TikTok videos.
It.
With obviously a production crew that has to do all the TikToking for you, and you go, oh, they sent me to do one TikTok. And then when they ask you to do it, you know you're just livid about it. But yeah, get me to come, all right? Work
That's
my
funny.
Way in.
I will.
You're a power
I'll put your
broker.
Name out there.
Yeah, I want to come on
I'll
one
put
of these
your name
trips.
Out there. We got good chemistry. We got
That's
good
right.
chem.
That's
good
right. Bring
chem.
Me on a trip. Bring me on one of these trips. Plus, I'm somebody that you could actually beat at Top Golf, you know? Like, you could win.
Thank God I lost the cabbie. I don't even know what to say to that.
Forever.
I don't even know what to say to that.
Yeah, it's there forever.
There, like, what do you think? Like, would you ever, in your right mind, think you'd lose at Topgolf to cabbie? I don't know. I mean, it's not like he's horrible athlete or anything, but it's like.
No, but how many hours have you
cabbie.
Put into golf? How many hours have you put into golf, would you say, in your life?
None. But, like, more than him. Like, I guarantee more than him. Shout out to Cabby. I'll give him a shout out for that.
Yeah. So
but,
good.
Yeah, it was embarrassing. It's embarrassing. And he knows. He knows that it'll never go away. It's on internet and TV. And he's now a champion forever, you know?
Yeah, he is. You know, he's always got that over you. That's probably why he keeps pitching you to bring you on stuff. He's like, oh, I'll beat Colby at that.
Roast this guy. He's horrible.
Yeah. Hey, so, quickly, just because you are a Steelers guy right now. We were just talking about quarterback carousel. And
who
do people in Pittsburgh want? Well, that's the thing. What do you want? Do you like? Are you in the point now where you're saying, hey, my friends are talking about this? Because where's the replacement talk for you? Because now – you and I are in the same boat.
They're saying
where
Trubisky.
We went from years. You want Trubisky? Are you serious? That's where you're at?
I don't.
You're in that camp?
This is what they're saying. No,
that's what
I don't.
Saying, so.
I'm not like. Yeah, so this is like Pittsburgh Sports Talk Radio. It was like, who's coming? Rogers coming. There's a few guys that were like, no, he's not. You guys are idiots. That'll never happen. And then it was like, you know, I think everyone's looking for them. People are really don't want Mason Rudolph, I feel, but like they think he'll be okay, but. You know, we're the champions. We're going to win. We're going to be awesome. And everyone's kind of saying, you know, we had, you know, this Hall of Fame quarterback the last, I don't know how many years. And we were like, no better than not very, than okay the whole time. So like, what are you thinking you're going to get with all these guys? So we need to get like someone kind of in the middle that can develop. There's a few guys in free agency and a few guys out of the draft that they're talking about possibly picking up.
It's funny because there's been this like big, if you're paying attention, the Trubisky thing is very real in that there's been buzz about Trubisky now for a couple weeks, and either he has the best agent on the planet or the NFL is the dumbest league that's ever happened, because Trubisky having this much hype is hilarious right now. But that actually makes sense that Pittsburgh would be the team that he's linked to from a standpoint of, oh, okay, you get behind the big guy, he can move, he brings the different dynamic from Ben, you don't ask him to do too much, good weapons. I still don't want Mitchell Trubisky. Like, that would be pretty underwhelming to me if you go from a Hall of Famer to Mitchell Trubisky.
I just thought of this. I know Rodgers takes a lot of flack for whatever, and you know, whatever he says and does, okay, whatever. But what if Aaron Rodgers is Trubisky's agent? And he just got that massive deal, and then he did it to himself so that he can up Trubisky's game, Mitchell's game. Orchestrated the whole thing.
Yeah.
He orchestrated the whole thing.
Yeah, here's the thing, though, about Aaron Rodgers. Here's what we keep learning about him, though, is that I don't think he cares about anybody other than Aaron Rodgers. Like, that's the thing about him. So the idea that he'd be looking out for somebody else feels like a bit of a stretch to me. You know, like, that's where this all falls apart. Okay, so Aaron Rodgers. This is going to be a tough pivot, but this is going to be the way that it pivots.
Rush, too. Jeez.
I don't get into that with you.
I forgot. Did you already do this?
Yeah.
Did you already do this?
Come on. Of course I already
did. Okay, I'll let you off the hook if you already did it, because everyone with you right now is going, please don't let this.
Listen, I don't want to do it because it's going to be another 20 minutes. Let's just say this. I can understand why they traded him, but I don't like what they traded him for. That's basically the synopsis. And I especially don't like that they backed a 70-year-old coach who chews gum and does little else.
Stands with his hands on his knees, bent over, chomping on gum.
Aaron Rodgers is the MVP. Is Austin Matthews the MVP in the NHL? See the best. Hey, let me actually even change it. Let me go further. See the best player in hockey.
Wow. I would say right now, what he's able to do, defensively, and then obviously the goals he's piling. What are the numbers on his goals, too? I just keep seeing them, and I mean, it's obviously he's got 36. What does he have? It's like an absurd number.
He's now got 42 goals, and it looks – so he's got 42 goals, and he's got 22 games left.
32 goals. He's got 32 goals in his last, 40 games or something like that. Like,
36 and 37.
Yeah, even better. He's even better than my imagination. Yeah, I mean, what do you say to that? That's my question. So, yeah, he's big. He's both sides of the... He's lighting it up at, a Ovechkin goal-scoring craziness that we talk about, right? And he's been doing it now for a while. And I think he just kind of, the little mixture of his line as well, and the chemistry of his line, and the guys, and the personality, and him fighting with him and Bunting having this little thing. I think it's a real good comfort level for the line too, which is even, scarier for that duo, what they can do. So it's, he's put himself, obviously ran away now a little bit with those big dogs for the goals, but you got to think about what he could do with the heart, or MVP, whatever you want to call it, with this guy's play, because he's turned it on another level, right? Hasn't he? And I don't know. I like the chemistry angle of his line, though, guys. I like that angle. I don't think we talk about it enough. I think we just, it's cool to talk about the individual player, but the peak chemistry of that line, I think, has really hit where you got a little bit of everything there, and there's a comfort level that has been found.
Hard to imagine that they need more goal scoring, the Maple Leafs, although there are discussions about potentially upgrading the top six. But, there are some pretty clear issues that can be debated. But from your perspective, Colby, what sort of stands out and something that they have to address, whether it's internally before the deadline? What's sort of that one thing that sticks out when assessing the Maple Leafs' chances to win a postseason round and advance further along in the tournament?
Yeah, I mean, it's it's for me, it's been always the idea of how your team is built, right? And we've talked about this forever. Okay, you score goals, you can score goals. Like, we don't care about keeping pucks out that much, but we're just going to score ourselves out of trouble. And, you know, I think we found, like, watching this team and kind of going, okay, like, you need a little bit more. You need some, you know, some of these sandpaper guys. You need some depth, and you need a little bit of, you know, a little bit of a pit bull maybe rather than the chihuahua, and how that's going to work. So they tried it. They went and got, you know, Bogosian, other guys here and there. But I think, you know, looking at it this year, is Fleury going to come to the Leafs? Guys, if you guys, okay, you know, we're talking about...
Yeah,
the goaltending situation, right? Yeah, we'll go there next. I think you have to get some players that are, I don't know, like, you know, we talked about this the other day with Borny. Yeah. You have to get, you know, those kind of Giordanos or guys that are willing to, you know, play good amount of minutes that have that difference maker ability. I talked about like a guy like Luke Shen also that can, you know, block shots. He comes in at a good price. He can play. He can, you know, fight. He swung a series a few years ago with Tampa in the bubble where he fought Matt Martin against the Islanders. So he's got a little bit of a difference maker ability and a little bit of presence in a game in a different way. And they, I think they're going to need some of the guys like that to swing things a little bit differently for them.
So, yeah,
on the back end.
Listen, if they go out and get some a better defenseman, somebody who can play top four and someone who fits that profile, I think everybody here is going to be thrilled. But Marc-Andre Fleury is your good buddy. All right? And I know you don't ask your good buddies. I know you keep it, like you said, you're Mr. Cool, right?
Well, I got to figure that one out, eh?
No, you got, that's what I'm saying. You got to sleeper sell that one for me, all right? You got to send them just a text.
Yeah.
Text him right now. Text him while you're on the phone.
I know. You know what's crazy?
Yeah.
He's here right now. You know he's here? They're playing the Penguins tomorrow.
So there you go. Are you having dinner with him?
No, sorry. He's not. Sorry, I screwed it up. He doesn't play for Vegas anymore.
I was gonna say, like, I don't think that's true, but whatever.
Okay. I got Vegas.
Oh, you're on the outside now. Well, here's the deal, buddy. I know you're close with him. That's what I'm saying. A little sleeper cell.
No, I know.
Just ask him this. Just be, hey, how do you think you'd do on the Leafs? Hey, how do you think you're the
missing? Oh, there. You know? I just need an intro to it. You know, I really struggle with that. So
yeah
that's a good one, guys.
Say,
I like
hey,
that.
Buddy. Hey, buddy, dinner's on me.
Well,
next time you're
the
in
funny
town.
Thing is like, the funny thing with it is like, he will, like, I should make up one for, like, every team right now. Like, hey, man, how do you think you're going to do on the
Oilers?
Hey,
where do you want to go? Hey, yeah, that's it. Yeah. Hey, man, where
oh,
do you
there we go.
Go.
Hey, man, where do you think you're going to go?
Yeah. I love how you think this is that hard, where it's like, that's what everybody does.
Oh, yeah.
And you just never do it. You go, hey, how do you ask a guy that question? Is literally that, hey, where do you think you're gonna go? Hey, have they told
you
about
where
you go?
No, because I'm not like you. This is like a comedy sketch right now where it comes back to the carrying of the guy to Fleury's carrying Fleury's couch.
Yeah, I know.
And
then
like, hey man, where are you going?
Yeah, but that's the thing, though, man. You don't realize, this is the other part of the comedy sketch, you don't realize you're me. You think you're still you of you with Fleury. You know, you think you're in him, that you're still in the dressing room together, palling it around. You think you're about to go play in the outdoor game. It's like, no, man, you're about to do the commercial for the outdoor game, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're me. You're me now, but you're just higher up
that's
and better.
True.
But that's the thing. You got to start playing the game.
No.
You got to be doing the text out there and go, hey, man, this would be really good for my career if I broke this news. So just, you know, hook it up. Let me know. And then all of a sudden... Then all of a sudden, Elliot will text you.
Is
he'll
it?
Be like, get off my
really
corner.
Good
you ever
for
do
your
that
career?
Again, I'll break your leg.
Yeah. Then all of a sudden, me and Elliot are scrapping.
Yeah, that's right. Because you ever do that again, there's going to be problems, Colby. Like, I could promise you there's going to be no more Vegas trips. There's going to be no more Vegas trips for you.
Yeah. It's easy to beat me in a scrap, and I'll tell you, I don't even want to give it away, but
okay. I
just
mean,
like trip me on
huge nose.
No, yeah, not even that. Like, physical fight doesn't faze me. Nothing. I don't care. Do whatever you want to me. I'll, like, bounce back.
Yeah.
My, like, real fight?
Yeah.
Chirp me on Twitter. I'm in a ball in my bed sucking my thumb forever.
I
just can't. Oh, yeah. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
Why did I give my kryptonite away? Why did I do that?
No, I know. It's because here's the thing, though, man. Nobody wants to be mean to you. And the thing is, too, is, like, you know,
oh, I can't
people
stand
want to be
it.
Mean
drives
to guys
nuts.
Like me. Because I have hard takes, right? Because I have takes. I have opinions. Nobody likes a person with opinions. Because you have an opinion on everything.
God.
You rub people the wrong way.
I like it.
Yeah, you do. But that's the thing, is because it's just it's the way we get along. Yeah. We mesh well with one another. But for other people, they hear the guy with opinions on everything, and they go, I wish this guy would shut up. I hate this guy. Why does he have to have an opinion on everything? It's like, well, that's what I do for a living. But it is what it is. Whereas you are very much like, hey, I'll do this politically. And I don't know, man. Buddy, whatever you think, buddy, that's what we get along. Is you go, hey, that's interesting, buddy. That's
so
interesting.
This is
you know,
my
play to it.
So Sportsnet, if you're listening, hopefully, this is Sportsnet. They bring me and you on the next thing, and you're the opinion guy at the end. Because if we're going to do something, don't put a poll or put a poll up, whatever, you know, some of these things. And but then you come in at the end, and you're like, you know, Leafs are Canadians. Who's better? And then that's the end of the
book. I think I could do a better one than that. I think I could do a better
one. I know.
One than
like, that. For example, right? That was just an example.
Yeah. I got you.
Get the waters turning.
The waters turning. That's not a saying.
Turning.
Yeah, the waters.
Turn the waters. Yeah, it'll be a saying soon.
We'll
it'll be a saying soon.
We'll turn the waters.
Hashtag. Churn the waters.
All right, so we're having you on. So you've got two missions then. That's what we've come to today.
I can't believe I said that. Is that funny?
One is that you have to pitch me for going on a trip for free. And two is you got to text Marc-Andre Fleury and just be like, hey, how you feeling, buddy?
Oh, yeah, where is he going?
Hey, a week and a half away. How you feeling? How you feeling?
I got a good angle. Yeah. Hey, man, I just got off of a radio thing, and they were talking about you getting traded. Is this true?
Yeah, there you go.
Is that where?
Is this true? Leave him a voice note, actually. Really sell it. You can practice your acting ahead of this commercial, right? You can practice.
Yeah, I got to get acting.
Is this true? There you go. That's perfect. Colby Armstrong, you're the best, buddy. We'll let you go.
Oh, man, I'm an idiot.
We'll talk
thanks.
To you again soon. See you, pal.
Yeah, good hearing you guys. All right, take care. Always. See you guys.
See you, pal. Colby Armstrong, NHL on Sportsnet. That Insider was brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Do you guys have a try-hard moment? Do you have a moment that you can think of right now where you went, oh, God, I'm kind of embarrassed. I tried too hard. Blake, I'm sure you have to have one.
It's my entire gimmick.
Yes.
My entire personality is...
I didn't want to say it. I didn't want to be the one, but yes.
Every Wake and Rake segment or every stats thing. It's my entire personality.
Can I tell you Blake's on this show, Justin?
What's that?
Can I tell you Blake's on this show? His moment like mine with Phil Kessel?
When
I was in university.
Of course.
When we had on Edge. We had on Edge, and Blake was sweating in anticipation for Edge. He was nervous. Like, I'm looking at Blake. I looked over at
Blake.
Was
he in studio?
No. He was over the phone, but I was in studio with Blake. I was looking at Blake when we were doing the interview with Edge, shaking like a leaf, like just like trembling, ready for the Edge. Oh, yeah. He was so stoked.
First of all, I think that was like our first or second week on the show. So
it was. It was very early.
I was not the polished vet I am now. Yeah. But also, like, it turned out okay. I got him with a couple good laughs. So.
Hey, it turned out great. But it was definitely, the interview definitely started with a vibe of, what was Will Ferrell's character? Where he goes, do you remember when?
Chris
that was awesome. Yes, Chris Farley. That was awesome. That was what Blake with the Edge.
What is it about Edge, Blake?
No, the Edge is the guy I hate. He's the guitar player. Just he's Edge only, right?
Yeah. It was just, well, first of all, it was one of our first weeks on the show, and I'm a wrestling fan. Mm-hmm. But also, like, Edge is from around here and, like, spent time living in Cambridge where I'm from and stuff like that. And, like, I don't know, like, when I don't know, early 2000s was probably, like, my favorite wrestler or whatever.
Hell yeah. No, listen, there's no shame. This is not the shame.
I feel no shame whatsoever.
We all do it. I told you, I've also had other ones. I think I've mentioned this one on the show many times before, but when I met Curtis Joseph for the first time, I'm in the elevator. I was like, hey, Cujo. And then right away I went, why did you call him Cujo? That was the worst. Why did you call him Cujo? You just met. Just bring him to the studio and let go. Hey, Curtis, nice to meet you. I'm JD. I'll be bringing you up to the studio. And how's it going today? Are you doing well? Hey, that's cool, man. Hey, these are your hosts. And instead, I did the, hey, Cujo, I was a big fan. Like, it was so bad. So bad. So bad. So bad.
I definitely tried to crack a joke the first time I ever saw Austin Matthews, and it was at, I believe, the practice before the Centennial Classic, and I'm like, hey, Austin, do you feel like a Canadian today? And he laughed, but it was, you know, Austin Matthews. Not exactly the guy that you throw around that sort of joke with and expect, like, a really quality response.
You want to hang out later?
Good one, kid. Good one.
Hey, what's your name, buddy? The kid who, hey, tell the go to the PR guy later. Just, hey, tell him I want to meet the comedian. I want to go hang out. Yeah. What are you doing? Where do you want to go? This is where we're going. Harbor 60. You and me. More jokes later. You and AM 34. Amazing. Yeah, actually, you know what? That's a good one. You can hit the text line if show has good ones. You can hit me in the DMs at JD Bunkus because I read them there too. But if you've got a good cringeworthy story of you with an athlete, I want to know it. Like, just cringy. Just one where you went, oof, like, that was bad. I shouldn't have said those things.
What is worse to you guys? Saying something cringe or freezing? Because the one that I regret the most is I rode an elevator with Steve Nash one time and completely froze and couldn't say anything to him. And like now, obviously, he's like an NBA coach. I would have to be able to talk to him. And like he had a stretch as GM of Canada basketball. But there was one time I rode an elevator with him and I was just like frozen, staring at him.
Freeze is unequivocally better. Okay. The only way freeze is worse is if they ask you a question. You know, they ask you a question and then you freeze and then you stutter because then it's embarrassing. Then they go, oh boy, this is horrible for me.
The next fan they meet, they're a jerk too because they're like, every interaction is going to be like this, jabroni.
Right. So the better play is to freeze because then maybe you look kind of cool. I don't care.
Above
this person's
it, right?
Here.
It's
yeah,
like, oh,
I don't
yeah.
care that you're here.
I've seen
whatever.
A Steve
no
Nash
big
type
deal.
Before. Yeah,
exactly,
no big deal.
Right? Exactly. So it's just no big deal. Plus, what all the things that you ran through in your brain as you were frozen or as you let them go, right? Or they leave. Do you ever have a time where you go, man, I wish I really said that, and then it was turned out to be a great line? How often does that actually happen? It's usually, boy, I was about to say, do you feel like a Canadian today? And instead I didn't say that, and I feel much better. You know? That's usually how that goes.
It's definitely way better in your head. The only thing worse than freezing is worse if you, like, visibly freeze or audibly freeze. Like, like you McLovin it where you're trying to get the words out and it's just, like, a little, like, squeak. That is the worst thing you could possibly do.
All voice
but
break.
But if you freeze and you don't show it, it's all good.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah. If you don't show it, that's fine. Honestly, Blake, I think that freezing and not showing it is basically the best outcome. Like, it really is. Because if you're talking to someone
that's the moment I feel cringiest about. But, I do think now that you guys lay it out, it's better to – You've got more plausible deniability with freezing, right? Like, it could just be you played it cool.
Exactly. It's only you in your brain that knows the truth, that you're just some big dork sweating and frozen and can't move because
you're
around an
idol. Well, this is the thing, is I'm a sweater, so I don't know that it would have been that clear that I froze.
Oh, I know. I saw the Edge interview. You were dripping. Had Edge been in studio, he would have been like, hey, bro, did you just work out? What gym did you just come from? Is it hot outside?
Cool Brody Lee Leaf shirt, but why are you sweat all the way through it?
I didn't know black shirts could go clear like that. That's really interesting. The more you learn. All right, let's take a break. Let's make some money. 2 for 3 last night.
Talking about sweat. What a pick for Cuthbert last night.
Hey, guess what? I fell asleep. I checked the score and I went, hey, do we know the outcome of this yet? And it was like midnight and it was 2-2 with 17 minutes left in the second period. And I went, good night, Justin Cuthbert. Good luck to you.
I went to bed before it started.
Very nice.
Let me tell you guys, the world's longest 58 seconds. We'll recap last night's Wake and Rake and try to make some picks for a heavy, heavy NHL and NCAA night. That's next on the Fan Morning Show, Sports at 590, The Fan. The code word for today's episode to text to 590-590 to qualify for your shot to win Leafs-Dallas tickets on March 15th is Sagan.
Breaking down everything in Leafsland better than anyone. Real Kipper and Bourne. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan Morning Show, Sports 95.9 of the Fan. I'm JD Bunkus, Justin Cuthbert, Blake Murphy. It's the Wake and Rake. It's the time of the show where we make some money. Again, another successful night. Threw out some bonus picks. Those bonus picks end up hitting as well. But yesterday, the picks, 2 or 3. Cuthbert's comes in a bit of a heartbreaking fashion. He takes the Habs +1.5. But you
predicted,
kinda,
though.
Yeah, I was going to say, you said
it.
It
was going
to
happen.
You did it to yourself. You were like, oh, I hate empty net goals. And then guess what? You lost on an empty net goal. I had the Denver Nuggets -4.5, -3.5. I can't remember one of the two. It was kind of moving around. 4.5, yeah, they cover. And then Blake Murphy has the early no sweat classic betting of the Boston Celtics to beat a bad team. Celtics are just real good money right now. They come through with that one. A lot of people, the only one, Cuthbert, we thought we were going to tell you to take the Bulls. We all thought Bulls. And
they pulled it out.
You know, you wouldn't.
They were down the whole game, and they pulled it out at the end.
I know. That's the thing. They pulled it out. Those sneaky Bulls. They did.
It's wild that having like the best four players in a game will help you in the final stretch.
Yeah,
DeMar went for 36. DeMar's just a huge Wake and Rake fan. Always coming through.
I know he does.
When honestly, win or lose,
DeMar is impeccable on the Wake and Rake. By the way. I just want to – we're going to get to our picks, all right? We're going to get to our picks. We're going to preview this Leafs game. But some of these funny stories of cringeworthy athlete moments. But we need to start with our technical director, Vic Palladian, because his is incredible. He just texted it to us during the break. I don't know how he's never told me this story before, but Vic, do you have your headset on?
Like, I do.
Yeah, there we go. Okay. So we said in the last break, cringeworthy moments with professional athletes. When you've had as many as the three of us on the show have had, you end up with a few, right? You end up with a story or two. But yours is incredible, so take it away.
So I was at a birthday party at Grace O'Malley.
Already tough.
Had a few pops, obviously. And Chris Jericho was there.
Yeah.
So I kind of just went behind him for some reason, thought it would be a good idea to yell, "Welcome to Gracie's is Jericho." And he literally turned around and just stared me dead in the eye and didn't say a word. So I basically just nodded my head and turned around and left.
Now, Vic, did you say it like that, though, or did you go full, "Welcome to Gracie's"?
I did the whole,
"Is Jericho."
Yeah, I did the whole, "Gracie's is Jericho." And, he did not appreciate it one bit.
I am shocked that he didn't just break out laughing and go, "Wow, man, can I buy you a drink? This is so cool that you just did my thing, my wrestling thing here. So incredible." That is just, man. I honestly, that's the best one I've ever heard.
Yeah,
the
reason why I didn't tell you is because it's so cringe. Like, I haven't told very many people that, but now everybody knows.
No, dude, here's the thing. Never tell anyone again. It's so bad. So that is such a get wasted at bar that it's a little acceptable had he gone there multiple times. He goes, "Hey, Chris Jericho, if you're going to the bar where people get, you know, absolutely sloshed, then you're going to probably run into one guy like Vic." What I love about this, though, is Vic is such a good chemistry guy that does bring people together and can make fast friends with just about anybody. And so you're totally, it's like you're like the hot girl who's surprised when they get turned down by someone, because normally you go up to strangers. I've seen this a million times. Anytime you're out with Vic in any scenario, one, he's just got random people that he just goes up to just every day and around the building, the office, whatever. There's just randoms who love Vic, and you go, "How do you know this person?" And if you're waiting to go with Vic somewhere, like you're gonna go try to have a sneaky cig or something, you gotta wait like 15 minutes for Vic to do his like politician walk out of the building. But same thing with the bars. He'll just make friends with people. It's just, he's one of those dudes who makes friends. So I could totally see the false confidence in thinking he could become friends with Jericho and doing that one, and the shock of it failing. It's so good. That's so unbelievably good. Keep them coming. Again, you can DM me at JD Bunkus. I've got a couple in here that I'm going to read that I'll pick throughout the show. Keep them coming through the text line. I know Show gave some good ones. I also remembered that Show doesn't have a mic, and so him reading the ones off the text line doesn't exactly work that way. So he's copy and paste it maybe into the doc show or into the copy and paste it into the chat that we have on our Zoom so that I can read those ones if they're good throughout the show. But yeah, let's get into our picks for tonight. Let's start with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Leafs lines. -417. That's what the Leafs are to beat the Arizona Coyotes tonight. It's absolutely absurd. I do kind of like the total tonight, though. Over 6.5 is -120. Anything that you guys like in this game? Are we just riding the Austin Matthews stuff continuously? Like, is that all we're doing? Like, Blake mentioned it last show. There's always value now on Matthews scoring because he's scoring at such a ridiculous clip. 36 and 37. You mentioned it, Cuthbert. Like, that's an implied probability of every game. I can do that, Blake stat.
Yeah. And yeah, the thing you have to be careful of course, is that they're not going to be evenly distributed, right? Like, some games he's going to have three, and that means he might have zero. But he is -155 for an anytime goal tonight.
Yeah.
Which, again, to do the implied probability thing, suggests about a 60% chance that Austin Matthews scores. He is scoring at a one goal per game almost pace recently. And I don't know. It's 60% seems like a pretty okay bet with where he is right now. In terms of the over as well, something to keep an eye out for. Obviously, the Coyotes are not a particularly adept team in general, and especially defensive team. They've also scored 17 goals in their last two games. So this is a team that has at least figured out a little bit how to put the puck in the net of late. But they're a bottom six defense. So could be a spot for Matthews.
Yeah, I kind of like the assist, too. I think it's -125 for Matthews to get, you know, over or to get one assist or more. I just feel like it's going to be a strong offensive night, and that looks better than, say, the -200 for Mitch Marner to get an assist, although we sort of expect that if Austin Matthews scores a goal, and you mentioned a 60% probability, that Mitch Marner could, you know, potentially be on that as well. But I think if you jam the shots, the points on that top line against a team that, you know, was able to stop them from having a prolific night last time out, I think you could do worse, obviously, but with the number that is, or the line is at where it is at, it's probably the more value play.
I honestly don't know who bets this. Like, who even puts the Leafs as a parlay piece at -417? Like, that's
especially
absurd.
Like, we just saw them lose to bad teams twice.
Yeah, but
it's just not out of the realm of possibility at all.
It's so they lost to Arizona this year. They lost to Arizona. Just -417 is dumb. It's just so dumb. You can't get value off that. You throw in a parlay piece, it's barely going to change anything. Like, I just know that's basically laying a 10-point favorite in the NBA. 11-12-point favorite in the NBA is -417. Like, it's just, do you think this is the Jazz against the Thunder last? Like, that's not what this is. It's hockey. I'll never understand who bets these lines. I'm sorry, but it's just, it's crazy to me that that ends up being the case. I think we're riding the Matthews thing. I'm definitely taking Matthews over on shots. It's against Arizona. He's still going to do it. I don't have the number in front of me. Do you have a number for shots?
I don't have a shots number yet. I was just going to say, I just pulled the numbers in. And so the implied probability of that Matthews to score anytime goal is about 60%. He's scored a goal in 54% of games this year. So
yeah.
Strictly raw like that, it's not a, you know, it's a little bit negative value. But again, he's been hotter of late, and, you know, I don't know.
What do you mean? It's not. Sure. It's, of course.
Yeah.
It's over this stretch, since January 15th, since Marner has come back, that line's been the best in hockey. There's a way different Austin Matthews that has been part of that stretch. He's obviously locked in. He's dialed in. His teammates want him to win this award. They want him to hit 60. They want him to pass Vive. All of this is a confluence of events that makes you want to bet it. I still think your point is a good one, that if you bet that out, it's going to end up being a positive one for you. I don't think betting Matthews, especially if you're taking Matthews and you're using that as a parlay piece with something else, or you're betting the over 1.5 points, which is plus money, I just think that's the way to go right now. Betting Austin Matthews props is smart money.
And he's scored in 11 of his last 17, so that's 65%. Clearance.
The other one is you're probably getting some better value on Michael Bunting over 1.5 points, so I would keep an eye out for that one. Again, the old Eilish bet of facing the former team and having Bunting get over a point and a half. I'm guessing that's going to be around +200, maybe even more, so keep an eye out for that one. We ready to move on to our best bets?
I believe so.
I believe so. Well, let me just ask, because I stole Cuthbert's pick, apparently. Even after I gave him, you know,
listen,
winner.
I'm not bitter.
I'm just kidding.
I'm not bitter.
So, but would you like to go first, JC? Would you like to go first?
I will go first. I will go first strictly basis that I seem to be clinging to my number, and I've been clinging to it for the last 12 hours. I bet it last night because I wasn't sure it was going to last. But I have the over 5.5 between the Chicago Blackhawks and the Boston Bruins. These two teams are in the bottom half in terms of scoring this season, but those outages were at the start of the year. I mean, Chicago and Boston have followed the same trend that every team, it seems, is following right now, which is a severe uptick in scoring. Chicago's put, you know, eights on the board recently. The Boston Bruins seem to put up crooked numbers more often than not, at least they have over the last 2 weeks. So I feel like Chicago-Boston's going to hit the six mark, and to get it at minus 120 at over 5.5, I am happy with. It is an interesting night in the NHL. Colorado and Carolina play in what should be, or could be, a President's Trophy sort of deciding night, in that these are the top two teams in each conference, and they are probably going to be 1-2 in the end based on how they perform so far this year. I think I would lean Colorado, even though they are the away team. But the big one is in Buffalo, with Jack Eichel returning to Buffalo and the Sabres with the Vegas Golden Knights. Buffalo is plus 180. It's their Super Bowl. It's the Sabres Super Bowl. If you can expect an effort out of this team, it is tonight. So I wonder if it's worth putting a just $5 on plus 180. I guess you'd have to go a little bit more than just $5 if you wanted to make it worthwhile. But the Buffalo Sabres, I think, might be worth a play at plus 180 in the Jack Eichel Bowl.
So what is the official Wake and Rake pick out of that, though? Chicago-Boston over 5.5?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so four of the last five, Boston hit the over, and six of the last seven for Chicago.
So I'm going to go now, Blake, because it's in direct contrast with Cuthbert. I love the Golden Knights tonight. The Jack Eichel Bowl, one team has Jack Eichel. It's not the Sabres. One team is good, the other team is bad. I agree with you that, hey, the Sabres are going to maybe play up a little bit tonight. They know there's going to be a bit more of a spotlight. People will be watching their team. What happens when hockey players know people are watching them? They tend to not have sleepy regulation nights. But that works for the better team who's played in big games, in the Golden Knights. So I actually feel like this is going to feel like a little bit of a bigger game. And the Golden Knights are a team that go to the conference finals every year for a reason. They're better. They're deeper. There's nothing that the Sabres do even remotely close to them. I actually think that there's like a building case that the Sabres are the worst team in hockey now, if you're just looking at the way that things are trending with Montreal, the way that things are trending with Arizona all of a sudden. So yeah, I will happily take the regulation win here for the Las Vegas Golden Knights, where I think that you're getting a pretty decent price on them because it is against this bad Sabres team, but because of the Eichel narrative. This is a narrative one to me. I really like Vegas. I'm taking Vegas minus 120 for them to win in regulation. So sign me up for that.
All right, we're gonna go 3 hockey tonight. I'm gonna go with the New York Islanders against the Columbus Blue Jackets. They're at home. The Islanders are in a bit of a shaky stretch, but it's been against they've lost 3 of 4, but 2 of those were to Colorado, and they played them tough both times. Columbus is fairly underwhelming, as you know, Leaf fans saw the other night. They've lost 3 in a row. And even though 2 of those they got a point from, they're giving up a lot of goals lately.
Yeah.
At minus 160, it's not the best value in the world, but as a parlay piece, it shows like that game projects as closer to a minus 200 outcome. Like that's closer to a 70-30 than it is to a 60-40. So I like that one. On the NBA side, there's only 2 games tonight. You've got 76ers -4.5 against the Nets, and Warriors -3.5 at the Nuggets, the Nuggets being on the second night of a back-to-back. Those are both really fun games, and it's an awesome doubleheader as a basketball fan. I would lean toward the 76ers giving up the 4.5 points at home, but I could squint and see a scenario where Kevin Durant is absolutely nuts in this
game. Don't touch this game, okay? This is a classic. Don't touch. Just enjoy the basketball tonight. This is a very clear night where anyone, if you're going to play anything, you know what you play? You play over on points for Harden, you play over on points for KD, and you trust that those guys are going to go out there and be spiteful and try to outdo one another and outduel one another.
Yeah.
Durant
maybe
is not...
Kyrie.
Durant is not taking this one in stride. Durant is not going into this game. You know who cares about everything? Durant, okay?
Yes.
He cares about every little thing. He absolutely cares tonight. The idea that you'd bet against him is nuts. Nuts, 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 nuts. Do not do it. Do not do it. Do not do it. And the other side of this is the Sixers are playing so well that you cannot fade them right now. You can't go with, oh, just because Kevin Durant, they're a worse team, blah, blah, blah. Like, KD just lost to Jason Tatum doing an impression of him. So I'm not touching this one on a line either way. This is a very clear cut. Just enjoy the basketball tonight, okay? You're probably going to get a really crappy Leafs game. You're going to try to get in with the Sabres thing where you go, oh, Eichel versus old team. And then you realize it's my bet is going to win in a dominant fashion. It's going to be a body bag affair. And just enjoy the basketball because it's a really good basketball game. And also, it's kind of going to be a fun second half of the doubleheader. Jokic, did you see Jokic's stat line last night, Blake? I actually think, you know what sucks? Embiid is still the runaway favorite for MVP, but Jokic has such a strong case now that it's a little embarrassing that Embiid is as favored as he is.
Jokic had a terrific case last year, and he has every way you slice it, been even better this year.
Yep.
38, 18, and 7. That Nuggets team is 40 and 26, and he's gotten zero out of Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. They started Devon Reed last night and Austin Rivers.
Yep.
And it's the Sacramento Kings.
Doesn't matter.
But
he had 17 rebounds.
18 and 7.
Yeah. That's
and
pretty good.
I know that no one will ever give him his due defensively because of the way it looks. It's similar to the JV thing where once JV got good defensively, it just doesn't look. And he's been really good defensively too.
I get it.
Awesome. Like, I don't think this is the NBA Finals, but I want Jokic versus Embiid in the NBA Finals so badly.
Yeah. here's what I will say. I love that exasperation, by the way.
I love basketball. I'm sorry.
Yeah, hey, listen, I love it too, and that's what I'm saying. Tonight is a night that you don't need to gamble in order to get the stakes, right? Gambling is about increasing the stakes for a person, and so I just think that
tonight, or the entertainment factor. Yeah, right, but you don't need it.
Tonight there are real stakes, and so you don't really need it on this game. I will say this about tonight, though. I think if Embiid has a dominant game and the Sixers win, that he has officially locked up the MVP. So here's what I would tell you as a sports bettor is tonight, if that ends up happening and you turn and you look tomorrow and Embiid is still at that -125 price for MVP, I would bet that if he has a good performance and a win tonight. I think that he locks it up with this game. This will be the Embiid swings the narrative. He gets the MVP award tonight. Or even if you are thinking about betting the Sixers, it might be a nice way to hedge for it. Okay, so before we go, because I've loved these stories, Megan from Guelph wrote in, "I ran into Carlos Delgado in the street when he and his family were in town to watch the Pan Am Games. I went up to him and was like, 'Are you Carlos Delgado?' And he said, 'Yes, I am.'" By the way, this is already a cringeworthy thing, asking if he's Carlos Delgado, because you know he is. It's Carlos Delgado. So that's a bad way to start the conversation. Back to the story. "Yes, I am," he says. And I said, "Oh my gosh, I was your biggest fan growing up. I still have your bobblehead doll in my room." And he was like, "I probably wouldn't have said that if I were you," and crossed the street. Okay.
It's tough.
So that's a tough one. My bigger question to Megan, though, is how do you feel about Delgado now? Because this is a classic don't meet your hero situation, because what you said to him is a little cringeworthy, but it's not, "I wish you didn't tell me that," and then cross the streets and walks away from you bad. It's just kind of a thing where you go, "Oh, that's very nice. Have a great day." You know, he moves on like a politician. "Oh, thanks for sharing that," and moves along. That's just a very easy thing to be nice with. And maybe he dealt with 100 people that day who told them about the bobblehead. But to say "you shouldn't have told me that" in some way, like implying what? That you're some psychotic fan? Or, you know, like, that's what it's just, it's a weird thing for him to say as well. So this is your double-edged sword of not only are you embarrassed, but now you also might not like Carlos Delgado as much because of what he said to you and how he acted towards you. We all have that. I'm not going to out who that is for me in this business because it's been a couple people, but there's one that came to mind immediately that I'll tell you guys in the break, and I guarantee you're all like, "Oh, yeah, obviously." But massive JD youth hero, met him in real life, and was, "Oh, yeah, that's done. I never think about you anymore. That happens. That happens.